ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we've just saved some time because there's no verse this morning. There's no shloka to chant because we're just reading notes. Okay, so I'll read the English. You read the... Okay. Formerly an asura named Kalanemi had six sons named Hamsa, Suvikrama, Krata, Damana, Ripurmardana, and Krodahanta. They were known as the Shadgarbhas, or the six Garbhas, for they were all equally powerful and expert in military affairs. These Shadgarbhas gave up the association of Hiranyakashipu, their grandfather, and underwent great austerities to satisfy Lord Brahma, who, upon being satisfied, agreed to give them whatever benediction they might desire. When asked by Lord Brahma to state what they wanted, the Shadgarbhas replied, "Dear Lord Brahma, if you want to give us a benediction, give us the blessing that we will not be killed by any demigod, maharoga, yaksha, gandharvapati, siddha, charana, or human being, nor by great sages who are perfect in their penances and austerities." Brahma understood their purpose and fulfilled their desire. But when Hiranyakashipu came to know of these events, he was very angry at his grandsons. Quote, "You have given up my association and have gone to worship Lord Brahma," he said, "and therefore I no longer have any affection for you. You have tried to save yourselves from the hands of the demigods, but I curse you in this way. Your father will take birth as Kamsa and kill all of you, because you will take birth as the sons of Devaki." Very complicated plot, huh? It's more complicated, what do you hear? Because of this curse, the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu had to take birth from the womb of Devaki and be killed by Kamsa, although he was previously their father. This description is mentioned in Harivamsa, Vishnuparva, second chapter. According to the comments of Vaishnava Toshini, the son of Devaki, known as Kirtiman, was the third incarnation. In his first incarnation, he was known as Smara, and was the son of Marichi, and later he became the son of Kalanemi. This is mentioned in the histories. Any questions? A little complicated, yes? So you're going to have to translate as I speak because it's so complicated. Key in understanding all this is the statement from Vaishnava Toshini that the third incarnation one was known as Kirtiman. So we'll go back one, two, three incarnations. Kirtiman was the name of the firstborn son of Devaki, who Vasudeva gave, Kamsa gave back. He was named Kirtiman, and Kamsa killed him. That was the firstborn of Devaki's six children. So that's the third incarnation. And the second incarnation mentioned is doesn't give his name. Yes, no. In the purport, Hamsa. And then the first incarnation was Smara. So, second incarnation was Hamsa, first incarnation was Smara. Okay. So now we'll go back to the first, these six sons, six brothers, six brothers, six brothers, three times. First time, they were the sons of Marici. Marici was born directly, one of the sages born directly from Lord Brahma, and it is said that he was born from the mind of Brahma. And so the mind is the repository place for the six enemies, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarja. One day, their grandfather, Lord Brahma, became overwhelmed in his attraction for his own daughter and was preparing to unite with his daughter in sex. And the grandson saw that and they thought it was very funny. And so they laughed. When they laughed, Lord Brahma cursed them. You're laughing at your father? I curse you. You take birth as sons of a demon. And so it happened. At once, they took birth as sons of a demon. At the end of this whole sequence, after the six sons of Devaki were killed, they returned back to being the six sons of Maricha. So, remember, Devaki requested Krishna and Balaram, can you please return our six sons? I understand you returned the son of Sandipani Muni. Can you return my six sons just so I can experience and express my motherly affection for them? So they had returned to their position as sons of Maricha. So they're consistently referred to as sons of Maricha. So that's their first incarnation or first manifestation. This is very, very early in Satya Yuga, during Swayambhuva Manu's reign. Then, so those six sons of Maricha are cursed. They take birth as six sons of Kalanemi. The scripture describes a number of things about Kalanemi. It appears that Prahlad Maharaj wasn't the only son of Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj had a brother, and his brother's name was Kalanemi. And Kalanemi had six sons, and those six sons are mentioned in the purport that we read. Hamsa, Suvikrama, Krata, etc. There were six sons of Kalanemi. So we just read in the purport that those the six sons of Kalanemi, they were very chivalrous, very powerful, heroic fighters, and there are apparently some battles going on with the demigods, and so they went, as their grandfather did, they went to the forest to perform austerities to worship Lord Brahma to get the benediction. They couldn't be killed by the demigods and the various agents of the demigods and powerful sages that could utter curses and kill them. They wanted that benediction. They underwent austerities. Brahma came. Brahma recognized their desire, their request for benediction was they wouldn't be killed. Same as Hiranyakashipu. So they went back to the palace after their austerities. So, when they went back to the palace, Hiranyakashipu was very angry. You have taken it upon yourselves, rather than taking shelter of me to get protection from the demigods, you've gone to Lord Brahma to get protection from the demigods. Very well, I curse you. Your father, when he dies, he'll take birth as Kamsa. And when you die, you'll take birth as the sons of Devaki, and your own father, Kalanemi, will kill you one after the next, just after your birth. This is my curse for your not accepting my position as your protector. Sometime later, let's go to the eighth canto of the Bhagavatam, the story of Hiranyakashipu being killed by Lord Nrisimhadeva is in the seventh canto, and the whole story of Prahlad in the seventh canto. Now go to the eighth canto, and the grandson of Prahlad, who was Prahlad's son? Virochana. Who was Virochana's son? Bali. And Bali, in the eighth canto, has big battle. Big one. Big battle. With the demigods. And involved in that battle with the demigods was Kalanemi. He must have been quite old, but he was in the battle. Like Grandfather Bhishma, he was also quite old, but he was in the battle. So, he was fighting. And the demigods were losing. So the demigods, what do they do when they're losing? Krishna, help! They pray to Krishna. And at once the personality of Godhead Vishnu appeared with eight arms riding on the back of Garuda. When he appeared on the battlefield, the demigods took courage again. And the demons were very afraid, but Kalanemi wasn't afraid. He took his trident and threw it at the head of Garuda. No problem. Lord Vishnu captured the trident and threw it back and killed Kalanemi. Thus ends Kalanemi. So later we hear that Narada visits Kamsa and tells Kamsa, not only your brother Hiranyaksha was killed by Vishnu, in your previous life you were killed by Vishnu. How do you like that, Kamsa? So Kamsa became very Kamsa-like. All that are dear to Vishnu are my enemies. The whole Yadu dynasty. I should destroy the Yadu dynasty. That was Kalanemi being killed by Lord Vishnu. So Smara became Hamsa, became Kirtiman, and then was returned back to being Smara, and Krishna and Balaram brought the six sons of Devaki back before Devaki so she could experience her motherly affection. I want to spend a little time describing this position of Smara and what does this mean. Sometimes this first son of Mricha is called Cupid because the meaning of Smara is very much like Kama. So Kama Dev is Cupid. Smara is Cupid. It means lust, or that which incites lust. So Prabhupada, in his commentary in the next chapter, it's coming up, chapter 2, it describes that these six sons of Marich represent Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarja. Kamsa represents material existence personified. Devaki was afraid of material existence. She was afraid of Kamsa. And through her fear of Kamsa, one by one, her existence was made fully purified, such that Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Madha, and Matsarja were removed, making way for the appearance of Lord Balaram and the sanctified personality of Devaki. And Balaram was making all the arrangements for the appearance of Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada explains, in turn, we should be afraid of material existence. Kamsa, Kamsa-like persons, and material existence. And through that great caution, although we're devotees, Devaki certainly was a devotee, she was afraid of material existence. Prabhupada described that our disease is we're not sufficiently cautious about material existence. And so we flirt with Maya. Prabhupada gave the example, we go out on a limb and wait till we hear the limb crack, and then we go back. You follow the example? How far can I go with getting close to the objects of the senses without getting burned? Such a tendency is foolish. And it's a tendency of the conditioned soul, even in devotees. So when we hear the limb crack, then we shouldn't go out on the limb. We should stay in a very safe position, being very, very cautious about the danger of material energy to capture us and keep us in her control. If we have sufficient caution and fear of Kamsa-like personalities, Krishna will purify our existence. I'll tell a little Prabhupada story that illustrates this very nice. One time, in New York, Prabhupada was entertained. In the afternoon schedule that Prabhupada had, he would, midday, take bath, chant Gayatri, take lunch prasad, take a little nap. After that little nap, if there were no VIP guests, Prabhupada would have little darshan in his room. So during the darshan in his room time, Prabhupada was having fun. He was asking the devotees, what's the difference between you and me? And the devotees were having a great time saying, Prabhupada, you're this, and Prabhupada, you're that, and Prabhupada, you're this. And it was very joyful. Prabhupada was smiling and said, no, what? He was looking for a particular point, and his particular point was, just before they went in for the evening class, Prabhupada said, the difference between you and me is I cannot fall down, and you can fall down. Jai Prabhupada! So they went into the temple room. Prabhupada stood before the deities, folded palms, offering prayers to the deities, during feeding the deities, paid his obeisances, went to the Vyasasan, Jai Radha Madhava, gave class, and went back to his room after class. And the servant who was with Prabhupada was standing right next to him. He said, Prabhupada, when you were standing before the deities, you were offering some prayers. May I ask, what were those prayers that you were reciting? Prabhupada said, I was praying to Krishna that he never let me fall down and fall prey to Maya. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, you told us before class that The difference between us and you is that you can never fall down, and we can. And Prabhupada's reply was, and now you know why. Because I'm always praying to Krishna, please protect me from Maya, so I will not fall down. Krishna hears that prayer, and he gives his protection. Very nice example of our Acharya showing, living by his own example, being always afraid of Maya in the form of material existence and the Kamsa-like features of material life. Although we're devotees, we should be very cautious about that and take very careful protection of Krishna. Last paragraph of this whole chapter. An additional verse in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted by the Madhvacharya Sampradaya represented by Vijayadvaja Tirtha. The verse is as follows. Ata kamsam upagamya narado brahma naradaha nandanaha ekantam upasangamya vakyam etad vacha uvachaha. Translation. Thereafter, Narada, the mental son of Lord Brahma, approached Kamsa and in a very solitary place informed him of the following news. Purport. The great Saint Narada descended from the heavenly planets to the forest of Mathura and sent his messenger to Kamsa. When the messenger approached Kamsa and informed him of Narada's arrival, Kamsa, the leader of the Asuras, was very happy and immediately came out of his palace to receive Narada, who was as bright as the sun, as powerful as fire and free from all tinges of sinful activities. Kamsa accepted Narada as his guest, offered him respectful obeisances, and gave him a golden seat, brilliant like the sun. Narada was a friend of the King of Heaven, and thus he told Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, oh, my dear hero, you have satisfied me with the proper reception, and therefore I shall tell you something secret and confidential. While I was coming from Nanda Kanana to the Chaitra Ratha forest, that's Indra's special garden, I saw a great meeting of the demigods who followed me to the Sumera Parvat. We traveled through many holy places and finally we saw the holy Ganges. While Lord Brahma was consulting with the other demigods on top of Sumeru Hill, I was present with my stringed instrument, the Veena. I shall tell you confidentially that the meeting was held just to plan to kill the Asuras headed by you. You have a younger sister named Devaki. And it is a fact that the eighth son will kill you. Harivamsa, Vishnu Parva, 1, 2 through 16. No one can blame Naradaji for encouraging Kamsa to kill the sons of Devaki. The saint Narada is always a well-wisher for human society, and he wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna to descend to this world as soon as possible, so that the society of demigods would be pleased and would see Kamsa and his friends killed by Krishna. Time is running out, so I'll just make 2 points. One is, why did Narada tell Kamsa what he told him? Because the result of telling Kamsa what he told him is Kamsa just became so nasty. Why did he do like that? In the purport it says he wanted to hasten Krishna's advent. He was eager for Krishna to come and kill Kamsa. The similar explanation is given in Canto 1, Chapter 11, where the sages of Naimisharanya and Sutta are discussing Krishna's appearance. And it's likened, Krishna's appearance is likened to the wind. Like we hear the wind blowing. So when the wind is blowing, it makes the movement of the bamboos smack one another, and there's a spark, and the spark falls on the ground on the dry leaves, and there's a fire. Wind didn't do anything. It was just blowing. Similarly, Krishna remains neutral as Narada was remaining neutral. He was just speaking the truth. He was Narada speaking the truth. Hey Kamsa, here's the truth. Guess what? Your number's up. You're finished. So, you know, he could have sounded, oh, why are you saying this? They took it as, oh, that's very nice. Thank you for letting me know. Now I know how to take it. But it didn't change what Narada said. It's true. He's finished. So he spoke the truth like the wind blowing, the result of which Krishna's, with the 11th chapter of the first canto describes, that Krishna makes arrangements remaining neutral so that the demons would kill the demons. Who are these six sons of Devaki? Previously there were sons of demons who were fighting against the demigods. And before that, lust, anger, greed, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mara, matsarja. So, Narada is neutral, like Krishna is neutral. There was no harm or wrong in what Narada did. It was precipitating the events of Krishna's appearance. That's all. He maintained his neutrality in the mood of simply serving Krishna's desires. Last point. Is that clock says it's 8:10. Is that the clock we're going by? Yes? There's 10 minutes before the curtain? Okay. Here it's mentioned that Narada said to Kamsa that your sister Devaki, her eighth son, will definitely kill you. Now, it always troubled me, how could Devaki and Kamsa be brother and sister? Did that ever trouble you? How is it possible? Devaki's the mother of Krishna, and Kamsa is this terrible demon. How can they be brother and sister? Always bothered me. Well, two things. One is they're not brother and sister, exactly. The father of Kamsa was Ugrasena, and the father of Devaki was Devaka, and Ugrasena and Devaka were brothers. So they were cousins, first cousins. And Ahuka was their father. Ahuka, Ugrasena, Devaka, Kamsa, Devaki. So they're cousins. Second point is, it's discussed in Brihat Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, that on the wedding day of Ugrasena, he was to marry Padyavati. And he married Padyavati. But by a trick, a mystical trick, one demon whose name was Drumila, he manifested a form just like Ugrasena's form and cohabited with Padyavati, and a son was produced and his name was Kamsa. Sanatana Goswami describes this. So Ugrasena was the father, but not the father. Drumila was the biological father. Ugrasena and his wife Padyavati. Padyavati was the mother and Drumila was the father. But because he was married to Padyavati, it was accepted that his son was Kamsa. That's how Kamsa, you have bad genes, I guess. He became such a demon, the son of Drumila. And we find in Brihat Bhagavatamrita that Padyavati is this scatterbrained, unpredictable, she could say anything, do anything at any moment kind of a personality. Very curious personality in the royal family. Sometimes even in royal families they have such people. Hare Krishna. Okay, we have 4 minutes left. Any questions? Devaki was a pure devotee. She was so pure that she had Krishna as her son. Why does she have 6 demons? Why, if she's a pure devotee, that these 6 Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, why do they appear as her sons if she's already a pure devotee? Why did he not satisfy her desire for motherly affection? It's natural, motherly affection. It's natural. Like Prabhupada describes, if Krishna is neutral, Krishna has affection for all living entities. Some of them are very bad. Krishna has affection for all living entities. Samoham sarvabhusheshu. Samatvat is this characteristic of, but it's not just neutral, he has fatherly affection. He's equal, but he has fatherly affection. Even bad. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted the sannyas order, he gave up his goddess of fortune wife and his most loving mother to take sannyas so the persons who were criticizing could be liberated. It's the nature of a great soul. To speak of the personality of God, and in Devaki's, she had affection. She's a mother. She has affection. She doesn't say, oh, you're bad. Leave home. I don't want to see you. An affectionate mother is not going to do that. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki Granthārāj Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki Gopimanandī.
His Holiness Rāmapāda Mahārāja ki Śrīla Prabhupāda ki Nitai Gaur Premānandī.